Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
We'll be in the Old Testament book of Ruth as we continue our journey through that book together on Sunday nights. Again, as we said this morning, there are many of us that are traveling, and we want to be prayerful for all of those of our church family that are traveling. We also have a lot that's happening within our church family. And it was recently announced that John David Schwartz will be the new youth minister here, and that he and Amy and Abigail and Lane will be coming and being a part of this church family. It's exciting news. I hope you'll be praying for them. They're a wonderful family. He'll do a wonderful job, and we're looking forward to that. We're excited about that. And anytime you've got a transition, as you know, there are always some things that happen along the way that it'll be a little bit of a whirlwind when they first get here for those first few weeks, but we're excited to have them. I hope we'll be praying about that and be praying for the future of this congregation as we work together. We also have announced today about our directory and sort of upcoming plans for our directory. And I'll just take you through a little bit about what we have in mind so you can understand why we're trying to do it this way. It's always helpful to have a church directory. That's an incredibly helpful tool. But sometimes it can take a long time to go through that process. If you have not already done so, and you're the kind of person who likes to use apps and things on your phone, if you go to the Instant Church Directory app, you can put in Graymeer and put in your email address. And if you have an email address that we have in the office, that's kind of the safeguard to make sure not just anybody can get this information. But if you have that email address that we have in the office, then we'll be able to see that, and you'll be able to sign up to get your directory on your phone if you haven't already done that. But that also has the ability for us, when we update that, to print off a hard copy. And so if you'd rather not do the whole app thing, you'll have a hard copy that we can print off. But we're trying to make it as easy as possible. And so we've got several of our volunteers who are photographers. And what we'll do is have a couple of stations set up in the mornings before worship on those Sundays that Chad mentioned, as well as after Bible class. We'll just have kind of a very simple a backdrop and some lighting and the cameras set up. All you'll have to do is you and your family go stand in front of the camera, get a picture taken, and there won't be any time afterward to, we won't be selling any pictures or anything like that, and so that should speed up the process considerably. And we've put some sign-up sheets out there because if you want to be planning for when you want to do it, when you want to arrive early or stay late, you can go ahead and do that. We know that there will be some conflicts depending on what your visitation group does, depending on if you are going to the Lads to Leaders potluck on the 18th after Bible class, you'll want to sign up for a different time. If you're going to the Elders and Deacons meeting that will be on the 18th before worship, you'll want to sign up for a different time. So just be mindful of those things. And even if you haven't signed up for a time, we're hoping to get through this so quickly that if you're just here early one morning and you want to go ahead and take care of it, you can. But I really want to stress that we want to get everyone's picture here because it's a very helpful tool. It's invaluable for us as we get to know each other. We've had a lot of new members that have placed membership since our last directory. And so we want to make sure that everybody's included and everybody's involved. We think this will be a very quick way to do it. It'll be a quick way to update the app and then print off a hard copy of it that you can have. And so we want this to be helpful. But the way to make it helpful is for everyone to do it. I know you might be someone who doesn't enjoy getting your picture taken. I can understand that. It's going to be as painless as possible. I mean, even if you just want to just walk in front of the camera and just slow down and look at the camera, we'll try to get your picture taken. I mean, we try not to take up your time, but we want to use this in a way that helps build us up as a congregation. And so that's something to keep in mind and be thinking about as we plan for the future. That's the last two Sundays in September, first two Sundays in October. It's interesting to sing a song whose words are what the Lord has done in me. Because the song, I think, is a beautiful picture of salvation. It gives a picture of baptism and the richness that's there. But also the idea that God is working in and through us. And that's something we see throughout the pages of Ruth. Now, I have to tell you that Ruth is a powerful story, and we're probably fairly familiar with what happens in the first chapter. We're probably even familiar with what happens in the second chapter. But Ruth chapter 3, as you're reading through, and I was thinking about that this week, it doesn't seem normally like a chapter we would go to find a lot of lessons we could apply in our lives. But as is the case with any passage of Scripture, if we look at what it has to offer, I think tonight we find some elements that are incredibly practical and are incredibly applicable to our own lives. I don't know how many of you kept up with the Olympics in Rio recently. I don't know what your favorite event might be. One of the things that happens, and I think it's happened at other Olympics as well, is there were several marriage proposals that took place. And one of, maybe the most unique ones, took place with the Chinese diver, Quin Kai, who proposed to his teammate and girlfriend, Hei Zi, during the medal ceremony. Now, it created a stir because it was right after she won her silver medal. And so there was a lot of debate about the timing and you know, should he have gone up there right as she's getting her medal and, you know, and all these emotions that are taking place. I mean, it was a big story trying to figure out, was that the right kind of setting for a marriage proposal? I thought that was interesting because it doesn't take long to find a lot of creative places for marriage proposals, especially if you look online. There's a whole culture now that we can take pictures and post things that has really put emphasis on how do you propose to someone. And it's really amazing to see some of the links people will go to and the creativity that they'll use for a marriage proposal. But Ruth chapter 3, I think, probably would take the award for being one of the most unlikely places for a marriage proposal, and really one of the most unlikely marriage proposals itself. And so if you've turned to Ruth chapter 3, it's a short chapter. It's only 18 verses. And I'd like for us to read through it tonight, just to kind of refresh our memories. Where we have been is introduced to Ruth, who is from the land of Moab. She married the son of Naomi. And she and Orpah were Naomi's two daughter-in-laws that survived when Naomi's husband and sons both died. And Orpah eventually goes back to her family, but Ruth stays with Naomi and goes back to Israel, goes back to God's people. And so it's really significant that someone from Moab would be willing to uproot her life and to go with Naomi. She makes that classic statement of faithfulness in Ruth chapter 1, where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. We don't know exactly what Ruth understood about that, but she understood that Naomi served a different God than she did, and she was saying, I am with you. And so that's significant. She goes back in chapter 2. She's reaping in the fields of Boaz. Boaz is introduced to her and shows her great kindness. And so when she comes back and tells Naomi about it, Naomi reveals that Boaz is one of their family, one of their kinsmen redeemers. He could fulfill the role of being the redeemer for Ruth, of marrying Ruth and taking care of their family. And so we're introduced to Naomi's plan in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first. and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And he said, bring the garment you were wearing and hold it out. So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me. For he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. 18 short verses. And what seems to be just a series of events that are taking place in the life of a family, and you think, well, what could we learn about Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and what's happening here? But one of the blessings of reading Scripture is knowing that it's not only in the big moments that we can find lessons. It's not only when Moses is standing on Mount Sinai. It's not only when Noah is ushering animals into the ark. But it's also in other moments where we can see just glimpses of lessons that God would want us to teach, especially ordinary moments. Now, when we start at the beginning of this chapter, we're dealing with some Israelite customs and some things that sound a little strange to our ears. First of all, Naomi seems to be playing the role of the matchmaker here. If you've ever seen either the movie or maybe a production, a high school production of Fiddler on the Roof, you know that one of the characters is Yenta the matchmaker. And the thing that makes her character so funny is she sort of forces her opinions and her matches on just about everyone. She's not someone you argue with. You know, she comes through and she's got ideas and she's got plans. And it seems that Naomi is sort of playing the role of matchmaker here. She says, here's what we're going to do. And so she gives Ruth instructions that sound strange. Why would you go to a threshing floor? And why would Boaz, who evidently has land and he has servants and he's got a household, why is he sleeping on the threshing floor? Well, it wasn't an uncommon practice for those in Israel, when it came time to harvest, to go to their threshing floor. And as they were doing that, a lot of times because of the wind, when they would be able to throw up the wheat and the chaff would sort of fly away and the heavier wheat would fall to the floor, it wasn't unusual for that to be sort of out away from town, for it to be even on a higher place, kind of on a hill. And it wasn't unusual for them to do some of that work even at night, when you had different temperatures and the wind sometimes might be more predictable. And so there are a lot of things that historically we see are really consistent with what we read in Ruth chapter 3. And it wasn't even unusual for the owner to be the one who sort of sleeps and guards what he's been working on. And it wasn't just that Boaz would have been the only one there or the only one nearby. It seems that there were others that were around, including maybe some of his servants. And it seems very forward. In fact, it could almost seem like Naomi is sending Ruth in with some sort of illicit offer here to say, go and prepare yourself and wait till it's night and wait till he lays down. And in fact, there are some who've tried to argue there's something more, some kind of invitation that's here in the text, but we don't see it here in the text. What we do see is a little bit odd, and it's true that it wasn't unusual for those in the area who were prostitutes to come to a threshing floor where the men were and make those kinds of offers, but that's not what Naomi is sending Ruth in to do. It seems like what she's sending Ruth in to do is try to have an audience with Boaz in a place where she can sort of make their situation known without anyone else listening in. And so she sends him in, and it just even reading through the text, you can see that there's purity behind this effort to reach out to Boaz rather than anything illicit or immoral. But it still seems a little strange to us. We're not living in those times and thinking through those customs. But we do see something very interesting in this exchange that takes place. First of all, we see some tremendous courage. We've seen courage from Ruth all the way through. But I think this text gives us a little taste of the courage that Ruth must have had. Maybe you'd call it boldness. Maybe you'd call it forwardness to be able to go in. But essentially what happens in the text that we read is that she tells him who she is, and then she sort of tells him what he's going to do. He's going to marry her. In fact, if you look at verse 9, she uses this language about spreading your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And it's interesting to see that sort of language about spreading wings, because sometimes that's used of the Lord. In fact, in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12, when we see this discussion between Boaz and Ruth, we read, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So she's come to Naomi's land, and she's worshiping Naomi's God, and now she comes to Boaz, and she says, you are a redeemer. Essentially, she's saying, now, here's what's going to happen. You're related to us. There's this possibility exists, and she has the courage to make that known. Courage is, I think, in short supply sometimes today. It's challenging for us. There are probably areas in our life where we could use some boldness, and we could use some courage. I like the story that John Maxwell tells about the great ocean liner, the Queen Mary, that was originally to have been given a different name. It was going to be named the Queen Victoria. And there was a little bit of a misunderstanding that took place when the official was dispatched to Buckingham Palace, and he informed George V that the company had decided to name this vessel of the after the greatest of all queens. And George V said, my wife will be so pleased, thinking they were talking about his wife. So it became the Queen Mary, because no one was going to tell the king that's not what they meant. Sometimes we need some boldness, being willing to stand up and being able to have the courage to say, here's my plan, here's what needs to happen, I'm going to take the initiative, I'm going to be the one who stands for it. And so if Ruth approaches Boaz with courage, she is receiving from him integrity. Here's this Moabite woman that is asking him to marry her. And even that phrase of uncovering his feet does not indicate anything immoral in the language. It's an indication that she is here. And so when he wakes up and sees her and she gives him this very forward invitation of, here's what needs to happen. She's from Moab. She's asking for him to marry her. And he responds as a man of integrity. Because it could have been easy in Boaz's situation, when he had power and she was in need and she needed favor from him. During the time of the judges, as we've talked about, there were serious stretches of unrighteousness that took place. It would be easy for him to have acted immorally. It would have been easy for him to try to take advantage of that situation, but he doesn't. In fact, he tells her that it's a tremendous kindness for her to approach him rather than trying to find a younger man, that she would come to him. She's repaid him with kindness. Even so, he wanted to guard her reputation. He wanted not only to have integrity for himself, but he wanted to protect her reputation. And so rather than having her leave in the middle of the night, he has her wait until early morning and then leave, and he doesn't send her away empty-handed. He gives her some measures of barley to take back to Naomi. He's taking care of Naomi because of her relationship with Ruth. You even see him protecting her reputation by telling everybody else, don't talk about her being here. Again, in the midst of an odd situation, Boaz is taking actions to maintain her reputation and to maintain his integrity. In fact, we see integrity from him in chapter 2 and chapter 3. We also see that he was willing to admit that he wasn't the closest one to make this redemption happen. In other words, he said, technically, there's someone else who has a right to this. And so I'm going to do the right thing by checking with him first. It's not always easy to do the right thing, but it makes a difference. It probably makes a difference in your life when you know people who are willing to take that extra step to do the right thing when it's inconvenient, when it could possibly put something at risk that they care about, when someone is doing the right thing and it might even cost them, we understand what that is. That's integrity. The idea that maybe you could do something. Maybe you could get away with it. One of the best definitions of integrity I've ever heard is the idea that integrity is who you are when no one is looking. What would it be like if you could get away with bending the truth, or you could get away with cutting some corners? I think Boaz shows us some integrity. He responds to this situation, which he probably couldn't have foreseen happening, in a way that shows integrity. And then, lastly, I think we see in the description he gives of Ruth, this kind of excellence that's described. In fact, the passage that we read here from the ESV describes her as a worthy woman. This is the exact same phrase in Hebrew, that's used for Proverbs 31, the woman of excellence, the excellent wife who can find, a worthy woman who can find. The term for wife and woman is the same in Hebrew, and you judge by the context. Does this mean woman in this case? Does this mean wife here? So Ruth isn't married, so he's talking about a woman of excellence. But I think that's significant. I think it's significant because many times when we read Proverbs 31, and we talked a little bit about this the last time we looked at this proverb, many times we come to that proverb and individuals and even especially as we think about ladies look at that and say, well, in order to be a virtuous woman, I guess I have to be married and have children and do all these things. Well, Ruth was a worthy woman, a woman of excellence. And as she was right here, she's in the exact opposite position as far as family goes from the Proverbs 31 woman, but both were considered women of excellence. It was because of character. And I think that's encouraging for us. I also think it's interesting that we often read Proverbs 31 and think about it when we're at the end of someone's life, and appropriately so. I can think of several individuals in my life that when they passed away, they were individuals that the best description I could imagine for their character was found in Proverbs 31. I think it's good that we read that when we're honoring someone's life. But I think it's also good that we hold up that standard of excellence all through our lives. What am I doing now so that I can live a kind of life with that excellence? What am I doing now so when that time comes for me, people will be able to look back and say, you know what describes his life? Do you know what describes her life? Of excellence, this idea of being worthy. And so all through the book, Ruth's displaying this. When she arrives back at home, you kind of have the bookend to the story in chapter 3. Naomi sends her out, and then she comes back home, and she's done what Naomi has asked. She's in a strange land, in a strange place. She's following the advice of Naomi. And in the midst of all of this, it's such a simple story, but God is at work. And next week, as we look at chapter 4, we're going to spend some time thinking about the concept of providence, about God working in the lives of individuals in Scripture and in our lives today. But it's no accident that she was able to find this Redeemer. And it's no accident that she and Boaz, when they're married, will be part of the lineage of David, who will be part of the lineage of Jesus. There will be a Redeemer that's sent into the earth, and Ruth has a part to play, she and Boaz, in that story. I share that because as we think about these three characteristics, as we think about courage and integrity and excellence, it might seem like in our own small instances of life, our own small situations, our own little issues that we might have at work or that we might have at home, and we're trying to practice these things, it might not seem like it's that big a deal. People might look at those issues in our lives like we're maybe looking at Ruth chapter 3 saying, this seems pretty ordinary. There are no seas being parted here. There's no thunder that's coming over a mountain here. I mean, this just seems like an ordinary set of circumstances. And yet, if we could somehow zoom out, and if we could see how those little actions could be used by God in a powerful way, we'd probably be surprised at the meaningful nature of those actions. We would probably be surprised at how big an impact we've had in those ordinary ways. Sometimes we're looking for the big event, when maybe we need to be looking for the ordinary occurrence and to see how we can display these sorts of qualities in our ordinary everyday lives and let God use those. It could be that tonight you need to make the traits we've talked about a part of your life. It could be that you need to focus on how you can grow in these areas. Or it may just be that you need a redeemer. That you need one tonight who will care for you, who will see you through even the most challenging times in life. The good news of the gospel is that because of God working through the life of Ruth and Boaz and countless others, He sent His Son into the world. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection, we can all have a Redeemer. If you need to become a child of God tonight, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, or maybe you've done that and you just need encouragement to try to live out the ordinary challenges, the everyday challenges of life, in ways that show courage and integrity and that live out a life of excellence so that others will glorify God. If you need help doing that, we'd love to encourage you in any way possible. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we worship in song.